But anyways, here we are this morning, and as we are here in the presence of the Lord, I want to talk about something. I want to start a new series, and I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And while you're going there, I'm going to begin by asking y'all a question. And the question is this: when we say by nature, what do we usually mean when we say that? You've heard, wow, you know, it's second nature to it. You say second nature to her, whatever it is that they're involved in or doing or about. We say, boy, it's this, you know, or you said it maybe about yourself. It just comes second nature to me. What do we mean when we say that sort of thing? Reminds me of the story of a blonde. No offense to anyone who happens to be blonde by nature and or otherwise. But anyways, reminds me of the story of a blonde who went to get her hair done, and walking in, she had earphones on, and she sat down in the chair, and the hairstylist, whatever, you know, was wondering what was going on, because the blonde looked at her and said, listen, whatever you do, she said, I'm sorry, but do not take the headphones off. Please, just work around it, do the best job you can do. And so she looked at her kind of funny, the hairstylist said, ooh, wow, and started working on her hair, and got, you know, halfway through and just got totally frustrated, the hair, and pulled them off. As she pulled them off, the blonde looked up at her and keeled over dead on the floor. Hairstylist, wow, she said, what the heck was she listening to? She picked up the headphones, and all she heard over and over again was, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Just hold on to that, because I know I get a lot of flack for my jokes, and especially from those who say they have nothing to do with what you're about to say. Hold on to that, would you, please? Okay, let's hold on to that. Breathe in, breathe out. But what do we mean by that? Second nature, you know, comes by nature. I think that what we mean by that, if you think about it, and I'm sure that many of you would have a quick answer to that, we mean, you know, there's a characteristic or a habit that a person acquires that they don't have to think about it anymore. It just comes so natural to them that they do it by instinct, which reminds me of the two fish, in and out, who were in a bowl swimming around, and one was in, the other was out, and lo and behold, in died. And how did out know in died? Instinct. Anyways, comes by, you'll catch on. It comes. I'm killing this message today. But there are things that we acquire, that we do so often, so much, that we don't have to think about it anymore. It really becomes a part of our lives, a part of what we do by habit, certain characteristics, and we say, oh, you know, it's by second nature. Unfortunately for the blonde, she just couldn't catch on to, you know, to the breathing part of life, right? But when you think about it, breathing, you don't really think about it unless you think about it, right? Or unless you have, you know, stuff going on with your lungs or a sore throat or something, and it becomes hard to breathe, your head's stuffed up, and you got a head cold, and then, you know, you might be more prone, or something or other happens, and you think more about it. But otherwise, I don't pay it usually a conscious thought. It is something that we do by nature, and it's a good thing we do, right? That is breathe. Breathe now. Come on, breathe. Second nature, by nature. And there are certain things I want to look at as we kick things off today. There are certain things that we can say we do, or that we are becoming, that we have become, in fact, by spiritual nature. We could say, by our new nature, okay, that has been given to us. And I want to look at this kind of kicking this off from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Because the Bible is filled with this kind of language. It even refers to our nature as the new nature. And it talks about that, how we have been given a new nature. And some of you have heard the terminology born again. And we somewhat understand what that means. I want to kind of look at it a little bit this morning. And so there are things that come by second nature to me now that I have been born again. There are things that I do characteristically by instinct, by spiritual instinct now, that have been given to me now since I have been born again. And Peter, this is what Peter is talking about here in his epistle, verse 23, where he says, "For you have been born again, not by perishable seed, not by human means," and we'll look at that in just a moment. It isn't he's saying, not there is there, you've been born again, and it hasn't happened by the natural process of life, by natural conception, but a spiritual conception has happened, and you have come to life, you've come to new life, Peter says. He says, you've been born again by imperishable seed. It is, in fact, the very life of God. And without throwing any kind of disrespect in any way, taken away from the miracle of the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, we see there a picture of what's happened to you and to me, in that God's seed of life has come into us, and we've been born again. We talk about it in terms of accepting Jesus in our lives, and so on. We come alive to God in the same way that it says that the angel said to Mary that the Holy Spirit, he said, there is going to come upon you, and conceived in you is going to be the very word of God himself, Jesus. In the same way, God, by his Holy Spirit, enters into our lives, into our hearts, and places there the very word of God, because this is what he calls us, this is what he calls it, who is Jesus himself. And he says, through the living and enduring word of God. So that life has entered into me, life has come into me, and I am born again by that life. And by that life, I have now acquired a new nature. And just as in my natural life, there are things that, they just come natural to me. Having grown up around tools, it's hard for me to understand that some people don't even know what a screwdriver is. You have to actually show them and say, this is a screwdriver. I mean, I cut my teeth by gnawing on screwdrivers. It was by nature that I just understood. And there are other things as well. And so in the spiritual life, having been born again, there are those instinctive things now that go along with it. We see these things at work in the analogies we can run wild. Take, for instance, who has to teach little Ben there that it's time to eat, and now Ben, it's like we need to put it together in three easy steps for you, Ben, and we'll even have something on video for you to show you. This is how you eat. I don't think so. three easy points. Yes, it's just three easy, and so it's like no, it's thank you, and it's. It's what? By nature, that baby, as with the rest of us, can eat. No teaching necessary. And transfer that now into now being born again, that God's life is in me. There are things that have automatically been written into now my spiritual DNA that are just there. So many things. I just want to talk about a couple of them in these next in these next couple of weeks. Now, there's several ways, other ways that you can look at it. You can look at that as there are certain intuitives that we have that go along with this whole idea of, you know, by second nature. There are things that we just know. It's intuitive that I, what? Breathe in, breathe out, except for her, of course, and along with other blondes. So, but, you know, breathe in, breathe out. It's intuitive. And that we can say that in fact, there are, as one theologian put it, Karl Barth, he said there's a concrete givenness about things that we believe and come to know about God, for instance. And so that packaged in this whole life that's been put within us, seed of the Word of God, unpacking that package in our life, it's wow, yeah. Oh, you know, I don't, in as much as, you know, there are doubts that I may face about God and things that God is and does, there is yet packaged and now coming alive all that much more in me, this knowing. There's a certain dimension where I don't have to be convinced anymore that God exists. Because I have been born again and I have met him, so to speak, face to face, I know. I know him. I know him. I was just speaking with him this morning, type of deal. Okay? And so there are certain intuitives, a concrete givenness. God exists, and I know he does because I've been born again. It comes packaged in this whole thing of being born again. And so let's just confirm this verse of scripture from the Gospel of John, because Jesus in this gospel speaks over and over about this whole area of the life of God coming into a person, the life of God coming into us, and what it does in our lives. And you can connect it with what happened even to Adam in the Garden of Eden, because it says that, you know, God made Adam and fashioned him, formed him, formed Eve, and all that. And then it says God that Adam really wasn't alive until God did what? Breathed into him the breath of life. And we can make this kind of distinction even to this day, that people are not really alive, not really living. You're not really alive, really living, until you have been born again. Until that life of Jesus, that Word of God, is deposited once again into your life, the breath of life, and you come alive. And it really is a coming to life. And given to you, packaged in all of that, are second nature things. Instinctives, intuitives, the concrete givenness, it's just self-evident to me about these spiritual things. Are you with me? You got it? And in John, he says the same thing. He says, where is it? In verse 13, I think he says, chapter 1, verse 12, he says, yet to all who received him, like being born again, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, what does that mean? He gives them the right to become become the children of God. Is it when you get a slip of paper saying, you know, what do you call that? You know, the certificate of authenticity. And okay, so I'm here, you know, no, it is a lot more than that. Because he says here, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, a husband's will, you catch the meaning here, but born of God. So the authenticity here is the reality that you bear witness to yourself that, yes, the life of God has come into my life, I have been born again. And I feel it in that, wow, you know what? There are certain intuitives now that I have that I never had before. I'll never forget when I first came to Christ. And I was born again. And I can still see myself doing this. I was just 16. And wow, I was so excited to have met Christ, and that all that stuff that was going on in my life was washed away. I had come alive to God, and He had come alive to me. I can physically remember looking over my shoulder. Wow, who's that? That I had this awareness of a new presence with me, the presence of God in my life. And that God was real. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, He really is real. And there's more to life than meets the eye of what I can just now see. That there is a spiritual dimension to life. Okay? And so, I want to look at, in the next couple of weeks, just a couple of those intuitives that you know, it's like appetite. Since we're talking about appetite, and this will help me to really get ready for lunch. I'm talking about food, right? But anyways, you know, it's intuitive to eat. Right? It's just there. You know, gotta eat, stay alive. And so there are those intuitives that we have spiritually if we're gonna stay alive. And like appetite, that you gotta be careful with it, right? This past week, I don't know what happened to me. I've been trying to watch it, you know, what I eat. And I have tried to, you know, drop a few pounds. I have, for some reason, it's a lot easier going that way than it is going minus. It just is. Man, and it takes work. And as I said, I don't know what happened to me this week, but I had such a hankering for Oreo cookies that not only, thank God they were on sale, Stop and Shop this past week, I had to buy them. And after I bought them, it wasn't good enough. They were just sitting there in the cupboard. I'm almost ashamed in one way to admit this, was that I was so hungry for Oreo cookies, one evening, instead of eating dinner, I had cookies, Oreo cookies, and milk as my dinner. I really did. And not only that, but it wasn't just one or two. Now, if you're going to eat, if you're going to do it for dinner, for supper, two just don't cut it. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, they just don't, just two would just don't do it. Was it ever good? Man, that was good. And so, the point that I'm making is there a point to this? Yeah, the point is that even though there are those intuitive, those self-evident things about our lives there, such as appetite, we got to work at it, don't we? We got to be careful that, hey, it isn't only Oreo cookies that I eat every day, whatever. I have to look at my diet. Some of you need to look at your diet and what we're eating. I as well, to be careful, because it could be the ruin of us, right? It can be. So we have to be careful. And the same holds true for those areas, those things, those spiritual intuitives in our lives. That although they're there, and some of you, and myself included, they are discovered by us. It's like, wow, that's there in my life. I didn't know that was there. That we have to be careful to pay attention to work at these things. Sometimes that they don't become not only misused or not used at all, but misused. Okay? And so I want to look at a couple of those. Did I say that already? I'll look at a couple of those areas. I said it. And there are a lot of them. There are. I've chosen just three. And look at in the next couple of weeks how we're going to unpack, as it were, each of these things. I'm not sure. But I'll just mention the three real quickly and then say a couple of things about them each today by way of introduction, and then we're out of here, okay? But here are the three. And two of them will probably be they'll be readily accepted or seen by each of us. It's almost like you're going to say, yeah, well, okay, that's easy to see. One of them is going to make you very curious. And you're going to say, come on, how can that be one of those second nature things about my life at first glance? But I think you'll get it. Okay, without further ado, let's introduce the cast. You ready? The first one is giving. Giving. G-I-V-I-N-G. Giving. And so that person who comes alive spiritually, who meets Christ, and all of those things that we mean by being born again, they are given by second nature, by the born again nature, this nature, this attitude, this desire, in fact, to give. It's there. I remember, again, when I was first saved and came to Christ, it's interesting as I reflect and look back on those early years. Now, I came from an unchurched family, except for the high holy days. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I was a bad Catholic boy. And of course, going to the Catholic Church, I mean, they passed the plate. But I never remember it being anything, stressed as this type of thing that, wow, this is, you know, what Christians do. So it wasn't something that I had acquired. But when I came to Christ, there was this understanding. No one had to teach me. It wasn't odd to me that the plate was passed in church, or that people gave money, paid their tithes, and gave offerings. And I was a kid, just had turned 16. Yet there was something within me that just felt so natural, comfortable in participating in the giving. And not only so in the church with the tithes and offerings, but there was something about, well, I forget all the context of this kind of stuff, but that, boy, you know what? I want to give to those who are missionaries as well. And I can remember, even as a young kid, you know, making money, working, whatever, also using some of my money to give to missionaries and to give to other missions-type organizations. And it was just now second nature, new second nature, born-again nature. Nobody had to teach me about it. It was just there. Giving. So we'll talk about that. The other one that I want to look at is praying. Again, no duh, right? Pray. And so praying. And once again, this whole thing with, you know, when I was first a Christian, no one had, you know, it's funny, no one, you know, it isn't that I didn't engage in teaching. I went to Sunday school, you know, all these things that we as Christians do. But I never remember anyone saying to me, now, Bob, here's, you know, the three or four ways, steps, whatever, this is, you got to pray now. Not that instruction on prayer isn't important. We're going to be given instruction on prayer. But it was like, in as much as that newborn baby has just got to eat, and I just prayed. I prayed. It was just there. Was there. Pray. Okay? And then, so I think that's not that unusual, right? To think about giving, to think about praying as part of what comes second nature to Christians, to people who are born again. Here's the third one. You ready? Suffering. What? Suffering. S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G. Suffering. That's right. You mean to tell me that what you're saying is that a part of my life that I can expect as a part of my life, as a part of my walk with God, to experience pain and suffering? Well, before I say yes to that, think about your life. Anybody here been exempted from? Anybody here so far lived a life insulated from pain and suffering? Anybody? Maybe Hope or Sydney. But even they. So think about it. Now, how many of you wish your life was exempted from pain and suffering? I'm going to put up both hands and both feet if I could. Absolutely. And it seems as though, right, doesn't it seem as though with us that we spend an awful lot of time trying to avoid, deny, medicate, and everything that we can possibly do not to have suffering and pain in our lives, right? And it doesn't go away. Anything that we can possibly try, anything that we do, anything that we can possibly do or come up with, there is no pill that could possibly be that they come up with. Here, take this pill, and now you're going to have a happy and wonderful life, stress-free, worry-free, pain-free, suffering-free. This is now your life. No more tears, no more loss, no more anxiety. You know, I mean, let me just ask you, the person who came up with that kind of pill, what? Oh, baby, come on. And so you say, well, isn't that what God has done for us? And that Jesus suffered and died and has now come into my life. I thought that when I first became a Christian, because the feeling in my life when Christ came into it was so out of this world high. I had one aunt who thought, after I became a Christian, he just found some new drug he's gotten into. You know, he's acting that way because he's on something really powerful, you know. And the thing that I learned within probably the first week of that high was that, God, you know, my hot air balloon is floating up there in the cloud. Ooh, I had the biggest Jesus, hallelujah, happy smile you could possibly imagine. I wanted to kiss trees. I was so happy. And God took out his big needle's pin. My bubble. Wow, it's like, ouch, there's still pain. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. No, it doesn't erase it. God doesn't take it away. You know, come to Jesus and everything's going to be okay. You're now going to be happy. The victorious Jesus, hallelujah, everything just wonderful for your life. Just sign here on the dotted line and you'll have it all. There is suffering. There is suffering. There is pain. And so we want to talk about that, how that works, especially. I'm curious to know, aren't you? Because all of those things, especially when it comes to suffering, that happens in my life, if I do them to the extent that the suffering is not allowed to work in my life, nothing good from the suffering comes about in my life. And it just makes it worse. It's like the other two things, even in giving. If I withhold and I do not give, guess who suffers most by the withholding? I do. I do as the giver. The same thing with praying. If I don't engage in praying, who suffers the most? I do. And so we have to throw in, as counterintuitive as it may seem to us to be that I would have suffering as part and parcel to the Christian life, it's there, and it has a value. Okay? We'll talk about these things. Okay? We'll talk about them as we go on in the next couple of weeks. And so, let me just wrap it up here by making just a quick statement to kind of encapsulate each one of these areas, these what we would call givens about your life and mine. And when you think about this, okay, if you would think about it with me for a moment, when it comes to the Christian life, what good is it if it's not lived? What good is it? This is always a challenge, isn't it? And when you read the context of where Peter talks about being born again by the Word of God, it's smack dab in the middle of how it is that Christians live. Always. It's in that context of how we live. So how do we live giving? You know, how do we live praying? How do we live suffering? Okay. How do we live it out? So we want to talk about. So when I speak about giving, what do I mean? This is what we want to look at. And, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, November. Maybe we'll save giving for last. Maybe we'll tackle suffering first and get it out of the way. And so giving, you know, what do we mean by that? Very simply, in that this is a new instinct, a spiritual giving that has come as a part of who I am now spiritually, in that I am a Christian. By second nature for me now means that I am a generous, not a selfish person. There it is. Simple, isn't it? What do you mean? And boy, I'll tell you what, I could have done so many things, you can Google it, of the way in which Christians over the centuries have given. Far, far, way beyond any other kind of people's group, institution, government, Christians, the backbone, the number one source of supply in the area of giving. But here's the deal. That I become generous, not selfish. Giving. So that's the first one, giving. When it comes to praying, I would simply put it this way. You know, what's the givenness when it comes to praying? How do I understand praying as second nature to who I am? Very simple, very simply this. To be second nature in praying means that I now talk to God about everything. There it is. I talk to God about everything. And so we learn, in as much as, let's again take the baby and the appetite that children have, babies, and they eat. There is nothing that is so complex about that baby eating. It's a very simple thing, isn't it? And so with prayer, it's a very simple thing. I talk to God about everything. Is that to suggest that even as the child grows and their meals become more complex, and there's more to eating than just what they eat when they're babies? Yes, so like with any of these, and with praying, that when we talk to God, we understand that He talks back. Praying is not monologue, it's dialogue, it's conversation. That when we pray in the many different forms of praying, from simple asking to filling God in on things, I had a situation this week where I got some texts from someone, and it was very distressing to me. And so I got on my face before God. And as I got on my face before God, I took those, my phone. He knows how to use an iPhone. And I put And I put the iPhone there next to me as I lay, and I said, God, I said, would you please take a look at these texts? I really need your insight. I really need you to handle this for me. Now, you say, well, he knew it. Yes, I know that he knew that, and he knew it before. But it's very simple, and sometimes we complicate it, and we have to approach God in that sort of way. God, would you take a look at this? And it's like, okay, God, are you done now? Can I go on to the next text that I need you to read? And we want simple, you know, prayer is talking to God from the simplest forms to intercession, to thanksgiving, to what we did here this morning in worship. Guess what? That's praying. That's praying. When we worship, when you come to this house of prayer, and we worship God, and we sing, and we worship, and we allow ourselves to be led into His presence, that's praying. That's praying. And how it is that He answers us when we pray. So we talk to God about everything. There's nothing that we don't talk to God about, kind of thing. You say, oh, well, then, you know, He knows, He's got it. No, we bring to Him everything. Everything. And then, how it is that, you know, if I'm going to pray, see, here's the deal. If I'm going to talk to God, I want to know that He's talking back too. And if you don't, there's something that needs to be understood about this second nature of yours and mine when it comes to praying. I'm expecting Him to talk back. And then the last one, saving the best for last, you know, suffering. What can we say about that just to get it out there? And this is how I would put it. In looking at it, how is it second nature to me? How is it, you know, something that I live, oh boy, this is going to be hard to say. How can I say it? That I get comfortable in the suffering. Now, I don't mean in a masochistic, sadist type of way, or wearing my suffering as a badge of any kind of, well, you don't know what, you know, hey, but I've been through, you know, you can't top that, you know. Like John Wayne movies, you know, 5 arrows, right, 2 gunshot, you know, 2 bullets, then 1 in the head, 1 in the heart, and he still gets up on the horse and rides off as the hero into the sunset, you know. No John Wayneism. That's not what I'm talking about. But comfortable in the sense that it's something that I see I have to engage with God in, suffering in my life. And so what does that mean to come to me that I'm second nature with it? It's, you know, it's an intuitive thing. It means to be prepared that God uses suffering in our lives to do in us and through us what He always and has intended to do. You understand what I'm saying? And we'll talk about this. But just to put it this way, we're going to pray. So you mean to tell me then that, now, note, see where I'm going here. I'm not saying that, you know, God is the cause of the suffering. Well, I think He could be. But that He uses suffering, you know, from loss to accidents to heart attacks to domestic problems, to relational issues, suffering. We know the areas of suffering. That God, on purpose, wants to use those things to do something in our lives that without those sufferings could not be accomplished. That's my thesis that I'll try and prove in talking about suffering in second nature. Now that's difficult, right? But we'll talk about it. Maybe from the life of Job. Oh man, come on. You know, see, and I'm not telling you when for sure we're going to be talking, because I know you won't be here. You know, it's like what I don't know is not going to hurt me. Well, see, but this is the whole thing about being prepared, because what you don't know does hurt you, especially when it comes to suffering. Like, why did God let this happen? Why is he allowing this to happen? Or like, what was, I think Melissa said, you know, this morning, you know, okay, God, you know, I can handle this, God, and you got, you know, the next 24 hours, God, as I have just prayed to deal with this for me. Then, God, you're in trouble. God writes back and he says, by text, and he says, the iPhone thing, and he says, Rulowitz, yes, God, if you take a little bit closer look, and if you will hear yourself, you will come to understand that I'm God and you're not. And it's like, oh. And he says, hold on, that's just the first point. You know, oh boy, my influence. But anyways, so you catch my meaning this morning? And there's a whole host of other things that we can look at that I think are ours by second nature, by new nature. But boy, there's some big things here that I want to look at. And what are the three things?
Giving.
Suffering.
Praying.
Suffering.
We're suffering right now.
You know, somebody, what is somebody, you've heard this one before? Someone said there are three rings in marriage. The engagement ring, the wedding ring. My poor wife. Okay, but are you with me on this stuff? I mean, it would really help. And if you know my heart, as your pastor, this is where the rubber meets the road. Okay? It really is. That we get this stuff and we live it. We really do. And you have to understand, for every word that I use, it's not by accident or by just, well, I'll fill that in. Use that word. No, it's on purpose that I use the word in that when it comes to suffering, to be prepared. I think that we're all too often caught off guard. Why is this happening to me? You ever say it? And what we have to learn to say is this. Okay? This has come into my life now. God is going to, God, how are you using this? How do I got to handle this? How do I walk through this? Ooh, wow. Ooh, wow. The eight, five angels, you say that, five angels just fell over. And it's like, whoa! Did I just hear that right? At least that's been my experience. Let's stand together.